Magnolias.
Better than people plants.
And magnolias.
They never do evil plants.
And begonias.
All they ever want is to grow. Plants.
Iris.
Are smarter than us.
Violets.
They make a living if without any fuss.
Us.
Water,
water.
Sun and air.
And
are
sun.
All they need to grow. I think plants
we are so terrific.
Plants are generous souls.
It's hour number two of Garden Talk live at KSRO. I'm Steve Garner. Welcome back. And we can take more calls and questions at 636-1350 or steve@ksro.com. Celebrating 31 years here in beautiful Sonoma County, doing live Garden Talk every Saturday morning at 11:05. Chef John Ash and I welcome the Knife King of San Francisco, Josh, co-owner of Bernal Cutlery, who's written unbelievably beautiful, helpful book called Sharp, Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About the Care and Selection of Knives. And with all the carving that's coming up in the next month or so, you'll need to have your knives in tip-top condition. So we got an email just during the break from a listener who wanted to recommend a couple more trees for the caller from Glenellen that's trying to replant. And their suggestions were the Ketsura tree or the Polonia tree. What about those two trees possibly, Gwen, the pros and cons of adding those to her Glenellen landscape?
I like Ketsura tree. I have one myself, but where Joelle is in Glenellen, she's probably going to get a lot of wind, and those trees don't like wind or intense sun, you know, hot all day sun, because we had a listener call in a while ago about her issues with her Ketsura tree with the browning leaves.
Right.
So it likes a nice protected area and regular watering and good soil and the whole thing. So if Joelle can provide that, you know, provide some protection from the wind, that would be a great tree. Yeah, I really love that. It turns yellow in the fall. And
this listener, the email said that they have it planted in Quarry Hill and it's been doing well. Of course, that was 30 years ago when climate conditions were a little different than they are now.
Yeah, and you know, that tree's acclimated to our crazy weather, and you know, I don't know what it looks like in the summer or, you know, in the fall when the wind's blowing, but you know, microclimates.
So Ketsura, if it's in the right place, could do okay.
Protect it from the wind, right. And I would give it some reprieve from the afternoon sun and good draining soil, regular watering, and yeah, it's a beautiful tree.
And then for the Polonia.
That's Empress tree. That's a fast-growing tree, very pretty, but I'd probably stay away from that one because that needs a really good soil, from what I remember, and a lot of moisture, and yeah, just because of the soil conditions that it needs. And over there in Glenellen, I'm sure Joelle doesn't have the best of soil, so... but if she wants to give it a try, she certainly could. It has big, beautiful flowers on it, and you can prune it in the wintertime, and it develop a nice shape to it. So, yeah, those are two good suggestions, and but they do require some specifics as far as where they want to grow.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for the email follow-up.
Good suggestions.
G.S. Robinson emailed us that response for the couple additional trees. So I was... waiting at the doctor's office and looking through some magazines, and here was a summer issue of the Valley of the Moon magazine. And I laughed out loud. Everybody looked at me in the waiting room because on the last page of the magazine was this beautiful full-color picture of a baby goat nibbling on some spring and summer grass, right? And the caption says, Broadway Sonoma Farms Goat. Quote, I don't always eat everything. Oh, wait, yes, I do. It just struck me as just...
Well, the picture's very cute. It's this little brown and white baby goat chewing on some nice greenery of some sort. And yeah, he's not going to care what he eats because he's going to eat everything.
Karen just emailed us a response about her lemon tree and says, oh, I haven't seen any slug or snail trails around the container, but I will hunt for them. And shucks, I threw the lemon away. So I can't send you a photo of the inside.
Well, sometimes you're not going to see any trails up and down the plant, you know, the pot or anything, because they will most likely stay up in the leaves, hidden someplace, or they'll just bury themselves in the soil and then just go back up the trunk, find the nearest lemon, and eat again. So, I mean, I could be totally wrong, and it's not a slug, not even a snail, but if it is a caterpillar of some sort, plus it's too late in the year, really, for caterpillar damage. So I hope she does some hunting. I say hire some people and everybody take turns out there with their flashlight.
But don't give up yet, Karen, because we're going to forward this to a couple other citrus experts around town and get their input. So maybe we'll get a consensus from all the experts as to what's eating your lemon.
It's frustrating. One lemon after another. Sounds like she's losing.
Hey, here's an email from Linda Galloway, who's asking about a Washington dwarf orange tree and a pomegranate tree. And she says, hi, Steve and Gwen. One of my orange trees looks bad, dropped its leaves in October. A second tree is starting to get funky. The pomegranate tree has had blossoms and no fruit. It's been in the ground a few years. What do you think? If it's no time to answer, then just send me an email via an email response. So here's the first photo, Gwen, of the orange tree.
Looks like a lot of the new growth is yellow.
Yeah.
So there's something happening to that plant, whether it was getting overwatered. It could be just, I wonder how she planted it. If she just dug a hole and threw out that soil and filled up the hole with a planting mix of some sort. And so the plant is not growing correctly because the root system's compromised. I can't see that it would be too much fertilizer. It doesn't look like it. It just looks like a lack of fertilizer. I wonder if it's planted in a heavy clay soil, too, and no amendments were put in at all. And that would have been okay if she'd watched the watering. So there's a few questions I need to ask to find out what is going on, what she's doing or not doing with the orange tree.
So if you can call us, Linda, that would be great. It's 636-1350 because we need some follow-up information from you. That third photo down, Gwen, is the pomegranate tree. How long is this going to take to get fruit off a pomegranate? It's going to take 3-4 years, isn't it?
Well, it depends on the size of the tree that you get. That looks pretty full.
Yeah.
I wonder if did she say this tree was in sun all day long?
She did not say anything about
all
it.
All day long. Wonder... It looks like a big shrub. I mean, a really full shrub, like Escalonia. And it looks like maybe somebody was pruning it just by, like, cutting the top with a chainsaw and keeping this rounded, mounded shape
to
it.
Look at this big stump down to the left of the pomegranate. It looks like a big stump, a big tree was cut. You see that down in the bottom left part of the pomegranate?
No, I don't see what you're looking at.
Well, there's a big gray stump.
Well, maybe something died there and then she planted this tree. But it could be that she's pruning it at the wrong time. I have to ask her some questions.
Yeah. Linda, if you're listening, we have a number of follow-up questions for you about the pomegranate and the dwarf orange tree. So give us a call, 636-1350. In the meantime, we do need to take a break and we'll come right back with more questions and answers. Steve at ksro.com. For email communication or 636-1350. Nobody on hold at this moment.
Sonoma County's FM News Talk at 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO, depend on it.
Hi, I'm Carol. As owner of the Gift Horse Home Store, I've assembled an amazing collection of holiday items to create a unique and wonderful season of home decor.
Hi, I'm Carlene. We have some wonderful holiday gift ideas for you. Lodge, a great selection for that special person in your life. Tramontina, offering the best stock pots and roasting pans for your Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners. Mention this ad and receive 10% off. Le Creuset, which would make a great gift for anyone, has a house special on the Zen tea kettles. Regularly $80, now $59.99.
The Gift Horse also carries beautiful tabletop, bed, and table linens. If your home is missing that certain something, come to the Gift Horse and you just might find that perfect home accent.
From our door to your door.
We're next to Garaday's Hardware in Hillsburg.
The Gift Horse Home Store.
The Gift Horse Home Store.
Home decor and more.
Open every day, 9 to 6.
Enjoy the last of the summer vegetables and fruits at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market is popping with the colors of fresh greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, walnuts, almonds, and even fresh chestnuts. Meet local ranchers offering a variety of quality meats, beef, pork, and lamb. Salmon Creek Ranch is taking orders for your Thanksgiving or Christmas goose. There's fresh fish and crab from Anna's Seafood. Everything you need to create the freshest Thanksgiving feast is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
DJ Sash and Glass is a full-service windows and glass family business that has served Sonoma County since 1960. DJ's makes it easy to replace your old, drafty, hard-to-open windows. Improve the look and value of your home with reliable, energy-efficient Milgard replacement windows. You don't have to worry about disposing of your old windows. DJ Sash and Glass makes it easy to get your home improvement project done. And shower doors and enclosures are just a phone call away at DJ Sash and Glass. DJ specializes in custom shower doors and custom mirrors for your new or replacement bathroom project. Call DJ Sash and Glass today for windows and your shower door replacement. Add a touch of class to your glass with DJ Sash and Glass. 2985 Wilgen Court. Call 546-7344 and online at djsglass.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It's Garden Talk live at KSRO, and we're joined by the one and only Linda, who just sent us these lovely photos of an orange tree that's in somewhat of distress, and also a pomegranate that is not performing as she had hoped it would. So, Linda, thanks so much for calling back this morning.
Sure.
Great. So we're looking at the photos. So the first one you sent is of the lemon tree, of the orange tree, correct?
Yes, I have two orange trees. The first tree that's almost bare is planted probably 20 feet from the second tree, which is has leaves on it. And I think, too, with the smoke the last couple of days and the coldness, it's starting to get kind of funky looking. I only water them once a week, usually. Give them a good watering once a week. But when we planted the orange trees, we did put potting soil, you know, some amendments in there. We had a little bit of maybe a mole crawling around by the first tree, the first one that looked really bare. And so we kept stomping the ground down, hoping he wouldn't eat the tree up. The second tree, I had a little bit of mole action there, too. So I put a bunch of rocks around the base. One, to kind of help keep the moisture in, and two, to discourage the moles from disturbing the ground too much. So it It looks a little healthier than the first tree. You can see that.
Okay, wait, let's, before you go on, when did you plant these trees?
Probably early spring.
Okay, so when you said that you added some planting mix, potting soil, did you dig a hole and take out the existing soil and just fill the hole back up only with planting mix?
No. What we did, my husband dug the hole pretty wide, not real deep, because we knew it's supposed to kind of, they said to have it up a little bit. And we mixed the dirt with the, because we do have clay soil. So we mixed it with the clay of the potting mix and kind of like incorporated it like a dough, mixing it up and putting it back in. And then, you know, with the native ground and the potting mix together.
Okay. And so do you ever check the soil before you water it? Because you say you water it once a week. Do you ever stick your fingers down in there or use a moisture meter or something to see if that soil is still damp before you go out and water it? Or you just...
Not really. But I mean, sometimes he'll say, hey, your plant looks like it needs water. And I'll go, well, I watered it a couple days ago. And I try not to water them, you know, but once a week, because I was having the same issues with my lemon trees. I think I sent you pictures of those last time, too, that were in pots, that I would dig my finger down there to see, okay, how does the soil feel? But not necessarily have I been doing that with the orange trees.
Okay. Well, there's a couple things I want you to do. First, push the soil away from the trunk of the tree. Keep pushing it away until you go all the way down until you find the root system. Okay.
Okay.
And then that root system should just be barely underground. Okay. But if you're digging and digging and you see that there's a lot of the trunk, that's the stem, is underground and it's discolored, it could be then, okay, your tree is planted too deep and it needs to be lifted up a bit. So only the roots are underground and the stem or the trunk is above ground. Okay. Then being
okay, so how far underground are you saying, like a couple inches?
No, the roots should be like, say, maybe an inch underground, but none of your stem should be underground. The stem needs to be above ground so it stays dry. But if it's underground and it's wet all the time, then the bark starts to rot away, and then you have a girdle tree, and then it dies a slow death.
Okay.
So if that's not the problem, if you're pushing the soil away and you're like, oh, you quickly come across the roots, okay, no problem. You planted it at a good depth. So then I would get a little trowel and dig down around the root ball and see how wet that soil is. Because we haven't had any rain for a while. The soil should be, you know, kind of damp. But if it's soaking wet and you don't check the soil before you water again, it could be teetering on root rot. And so what you could also do is grab a hold of the trunk and see if you can rock it back and forth. See if it moves. There'll be some give because of the planting mix that's mixed in with the soil there. So there will be a little bit of give. Don't force it. You just want to see how far it goes back and forth. And if it's moving quite a bit, then the root system's rotting because you're giving it too much water. So you think about that clay kind of soil that you have, and you go ahead and you water. All that water is going to run through the hole, the planting hole that you made, through that planting mix in your soil fairly quickly, okay? It's going to go, and it's going to hit the bottom of that planting hole, right? And so that water is going to sit there on top of that existing, you know, clay soil, and eventually it's going to disappear. But you know how soil moves through clay soil a lot slower than sandy soil?
Were you saying water?
Water. When you put water in there, it'll go through the nice soil that the root system's in. It's going to go through there, and it's going to hit the bottom of the planting hole, right?
Yeah.
And the water's going to sit there. And it's going to take longer for that water to go through that heavy soil, okay?
Yeah.
So you could be adding water and water when it's still wet and it doesn't need it. So, or you can just get a moisture meter, stick it down into the root ball and see if that's reading wet, moist, dry. And then you will know if you are overwatering and that's all it is. It's just an overwatering issue. Okay.
And then partially, we got some of that, you know, mulch at Home Depot that was $5 for $10 or something. It's kind of reddish And I put that around a lot of my trees. And then I noticed it seemed like maybe that wasn't such a hot idea because I had replanted a bunch of bare root plants I had. And they all started to look really bad after that. So I don't know if there's something in that mulch that's not good for the tree. So I kind of pushed it all away.
So you didn't mix it into the soil? You just put it on top of the ground as a mulch?
Yes.
Probably not going to do anything to the trees. Okay. Unless you put it up against the trunk of the tree. And again, the tree, therefore, then is underground. You know, it's kind of buried a bit with all that bark. Right. And then that stays wet. And then that causes the trunk to get wet, causes it to start rotting, and there you go. So you don't want anything up against the trunks or the stems of your plants.
Tree.
Yes.
Yeah, gotcha.
Okay. And then when you water, you don't want to be watering the trunk. You want to water a little bit away from the trunk where the root system's reaching outwards.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So you got a couple things to look at here. See how much you can rock that tree, push the soil away, look for the root system, see how wet or dry the soil is, and have you been fertilizing them at all during the
summer? No, because I thought you guys said on the program one time not to do the citrus fertilizer for a while when you plant a tree.
Okay, so cross off over fertilization, so that's not a problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, a process of elimination here will get you to the problem. So I think it's just watering, you know, in your clay soil. Oh, wait, you talked about the moles, too. You said eating the roots. Gophers will eat the roots. The moles just do all that tunneling, and they're looking for grubs and worms and all kinds of bugs. So do you have a gopher problem where you've had plants die because their roots have been chewed?
Oh, we've had gopher problems, yes. My husband's quite the gopher hunter.
Okay. Did you plant these in gopher baskets?
No.
Okay. It could be that the gopher is eating up the roots, and that's why these plants are not doing very well. It could be as simple as that instead of your watering, or it could be a combination. But, you're going to have to get these guys into baskets because those gophers are probably going to kill them. They're going to eat the roots, and there you go. And if you're rocking your plant back and forth, or if you tug on it a little bit, it comes right out of the ground, then you know you have a gopher. The gopher's got it.
Now, even if there's, say the gophers did get to it and there is still some roots on there, then we could pull it up and put a basket in there and replant it and maybe it'll survive?
Yes, but this is really a bad time of the year to be doing that because citrus doesn't like cold, freezing weather. So if you can protect it somehow as best you can, or maybe even just dig the plant up, put it in a good-sized pot, put it someplace where it's protected, help you get it through the winter, and then replant it in the spring, that would probably be your best bet at this point.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because like you say, this morning we had a little bit of frost here, and I was going to go to Home Depot today and get some frost cloth too. The other thing, I think, I'm not sure if you asked, if it was the pomegranate tree or the orange trees. The orange trees are definitely full sun all day.
Okay.
The pomegranate tree, if we're going to move on to that real quick so I don't take all your time, is up against a fence that gets the southern exposure. It's on the south side of our property. The stump that Steve mentioned, it is a piece of cut wood that we had cut an old tree. And that there's just a piece of wood sitting against a fence. There was not a live tree there at one time.
Okay. So who's doing the pruning? Who's doing the pruning on this?
Okay. I'm going to throw my husband under the bus. But he comes along like the crazy man with a chainsaw sometimes. I did hand prune those in the spring, and I had a couple of blossoms. But, yes, my husband comes along with his hedger or whatever you want to call it and just blows the tops off and makes it look like a bush.
Okay. That's not what the pomegranate wants. So don't let him go.
But it is what her husband wants.
Yeah, Gwen. Well, we don't care what he wants.
Hey, men and their power tools.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Stand back.
Send him to the neighbors.
Send him out for a beer.
So wait for the pomegranate to drop all of its leaves and say in January or so, cut out a lot of the spindly growth all the way to the ground. Mm-hmm. Just cut out all that little thin stuff. Leave a few of the bigger branches, the bigger trunks, and don't let him touch it anymore because he's cutting off all the fruiting wood, and it's getting very full. So it's creating a lot of shade, and you're never going to get any pomegranates if he continues to do this.
Well, thank you, because I know he's listening, and now he knows to keep, I mean, he does the same thing to my rose bushes. I mean, he's crazy.
But he means well.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. He means well, and he's just having fun with that little toy.
Yeah. I have some Jerusalem artichoke plants that need chopping to the ground. Can I have them come on over and do that for me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Text me the address and I'll send him over. He loves
So
that.
The important thing is that she's not going to get fruit as long as he tops off all the fruiting wood.
Yeah, because that's just creating a lot of stems, a lot of greenery, and it's, you know, it doesn't want that. It needs sunlight. Basically, the plant needs some sun. And so you do some selective pruning in the wintertime, cut out all those thin spaghetti-looking branches, and keep the main ones growing. Don't cut the tops. You know, don't top it anymore because it's already short enough. Let it grow and do its thing, and then we'll talk next year.
Yeah, and I have two of them, so I have another one that, like I say, I do hand trim it and cut out, like you say, all the little spindly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when he gets on with that little machine of his.
I know he means well, but.
Yeah. He just came in. He says, yeah, tell her I heard her.
Okay. Well, you know, the proof is in what you're doing, and then you'll see a big difference next year when you don't do that, and then you'll see which is better. So, okay, Linda?
Okay. Thank you so much, guys.
All right,
good luck with your citrus, too.
We'll take a break. We'll come right back. We'll go back to email questions. And, of course, if you want to give us a call, those questions always get answered right away at 636-1350. Garden Talk Live at KSRO.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Smothers European Volvo Cars' new modern showroom is now open.
Now open.
The unveiling has occurred, but the celebration continues. See the exciting new 2019 XC40 T4 Momentum. Prices start at just $33,200. During the grand reopening of Smothers European Volvo Cars, lease the 2018 S60 for just $299 a month for 36 months with $4,765 down plus tax and license. You'll also find the XC60 for $41,500 or lease for just $549 a month for 36 months with $3,620 down plus tax and license.
It's a new dawn. It's a new day.
Smothers European Volvo Cars. See the all-new modern showroom at Smothers European Volvo Cars, 2881 Corby Avenue, and smotherseuropeanvolvocars.com.
I'm Erin Brockovich. I've spent 27 years holding Pacific Gas and Electric accountable across this state. That's why I know you need a team that will always be on your side. After the 2017 wildfires, law firms flooded your communities looking to make a quick buck. But our team is different. We are committed to this fight because holding PG&E accountable and giving you the representation you deserve is the right thing to do. We're here to work with all of our clients to build their cases and make sure they're made whole for what they lost in these devastating fires. We're here for you, and we always will be. Learn more at pgelawsuit.com or call us today, 707-237-2445.
The next meetings are Thursday, November 8th at 5:30 p.m. and Saturday, the 10th at 10 a.m. at 70 Stony Point Road in Santa Rosa. For more, visit pgelawsuit.com. Noreen Evans of Watts Guerra LLP is the attorney responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Hurry to Macy's Veterans Day sale and get 20 to 65% off furniture, mattresses, and rugs with our lowest prices of the season. Get the Maya 82-inch leather sofa, lowest price $789. Tribeca Queen Storage Bed, lowest price only $489. And a Macy Bed by Serta Basics Foam Firm Mattress, lowest price just $147. Get our lowest prices of the season on furniture, mattresses, and rugs now through November 11th at Macy's. Savings off sale prices, exclusions apply.
Fire. That's the 70,000-acre wildfire. It's forced the evacuation of thousands in Southern California.
and that brings the death toll from fires in the state to 11. After the deadly Camp Fire in Northern California has killed 9 people. ABC's Will Carr is in the destroyed city of Paradise with more on the Camp Fire.
Destroying more than 6,000 homes in just a few hours. 27,000 residents still under an evacuation order after many raced to safety, raving roads surrounded by hellish flames. Parts of Paradise now look more like a wasteland. Cars incinerated, homes destroyed, and animals helplessly roaming the streets.
Preliminary vote counts have been submitted in Florida. There's been no official announcement, but it appears both the race for governor and Senate are within the criteria that calls for a recount. President Trump and the First Lady in Paris set to attend a dinner with world leaders marking 100 years since the end of the First World War. Brian Clark, ABC News.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Smoky bad air continues this weekend. Today at 73 degrees, 62 on the coast. Clear skies tonight, low 39, 43 on the shores. Sunny tomorrow at 77, 70 in Bodega Bay. Blue skies for Monday at 76, 69 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO.
Every moment is just for you at Graton Resort and Casino. Staycation in luxury, right in the heart of Sonoma wine country. Book your stay today at GratonResortCasino.com.
It's Garden Talk. It's live. It's KSRO, as always, on this Saturday morning, as at least air conditions are slightly improving here in Santa Rosa. But if you are outside, please wear those masks. They're available practically everywhere as smoke problems. Of course, certainly if you have breathing issues, asthma, if you are health compromised in any way, please wear a mask when you're out and about today. 636-1350 to reach us in the KSRO greenhouse now, or shoot us an email, steve@ksrdo.com. John Ash in at 1105. We'll do a little follow-up on a couple restaurants that I tried this week and an event I went to last Sunday, which I want to talk about. And then we will meet Josh from Bernal Cutlery. He'll be bringing in an array of exquisite knives based on his brand new book, just came out, Chronicle Publishing. It's called Sharp. Everything you ever wanted to know about identifying, purchasing, and caring for knives. Sharp. It's a glorious book. If you're into knives, you will love this book, I promise you. 636-1350. If you want to reach us live on the air, you may do so simply by calling us, or you can shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com. So, Gwen, you're looking at a photo that was sent to us by Megan, and she's wondering if you can help ID this tree. She moved into this condo a little over a couple of years ago, and the tree was already in her yard. She loved it from the start, the way the trunk kind of twists around. It was actually half dead, she said, when she moved in, but she didn't want to have it removed, and she's loved it a whole lot and doesn't want to give up on it. So what is your initial thoughts looking at this, Gwen?
At first, from a distance, I thought it was an olive.
Yeah.
Because of the shape of the leaves, that grayish look to it. But then as you get a closer look and you magnify this, it has little tiny remnants of white flowers on it. And then I'm wondering if it's a white flowering buddleia, butterfly bush, that, you know, they didn't cut back, you know, far enough. And so, of course, you know, buddleia has multi-trunks, and you can prune it and shape it however you want. And that's kind of what it looks like. But I know you sent her another email.
We sent Megan an email asking her a close-up, if possible, of the leaves and flowers. Because, as you mentioned, olives wouldn't be flowering at this
time of year. No, and they don't have those nice little white flowers on it. They're more inconspicuous.
But if you get this email and you can take a close-up, because we can only enlarge these so much on our screen,
it starts getting blurry.
It might help identifying.
Yeah, but that That's what I'm thinking. It's a white flowering butterfly bush.
Okay, so we hope to get a response from you, Megan. Eric would like a word with us, calling from Windsor, California this morning. Hi, Eric, and welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Yeah, I called you about a year or so ago about my mandrake plant.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys told
mandrake.
Me to get rid of it. But it's beautiful, and I have no kids or anything around here. But it's got a flowering now, and I wondered if it's got these big balls coming off of it. It's got these three big balls that are like bigger than a half quarter, maybe almost as big as a half dollar, and they're on little stems. And I don't know if they're seed pods or flowers or what they are. I don't think they're flowers because they have. It has a beautiful six little purple flowers, and then it had these giant balls coming off of it.
What plant is this again?
Mandrake?
A mandrake.
Mandrake. Why am I drawing?
Europe.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. But if you squeeze them and they're hard, then they are definitely the seed pods.
They're
or
hard.
would it be a fruit?
I don't think they carry fruit mandrakes, but
okay, so then it's got to be the seed pod, and eventually it'll start to turn brown, maybe even pop open and
there you go.
Expose the seeds.
And have some baby seeds, huh?
Yeah, but I don't know anything about how to propagate them and how to get the seeds going so you can make some, have some baby trees for next year or years to come. Some seeds you have to scarify and stratify, and that's like expose them to very cold temperatures or scratch them with a nail file so you break through the heavy seed coating. I mean, but that's what I think these guys are going to do, especially since it flowered. Sound,
I'll let you know what happens.
Yeah, because this definitely sounds like the seed pods. And you'll see that a lot on camellias, too. They have these big pod-looking things, and you're like, what is that? That's really strange. And those are the seed pods.
Right on.
So that's what I think it is. Do you have this in the ground or in a pot?
It's in a large pot.
A large pot. Okay, and you protect it in the wintertime?
No, just leave it out, but it goes down. It comes down under the soil. The leaves pop back under the soil. I mean, they just fall off. And then it's got a large root that's about a foot tall that looks like a man, kind of. It's got arms and legs.
Oh, you're going to have to send us a photo. This sounds really wild.
It's got big old leaves, big, nice, fat, green leaves. Yeah, I'll send you a picture of it.
Yeah, that would be great.
I think it's a Mediterranean plant, isn't it? I thought it was. I'm surprised it does well. I thought it wouldn't do well in our climate.
Well, Eric's got the microclimate there, so.
Well,
I found it in somebody's yard that was throwing everything away because they had an unpleasant thing happen, and they had to move everything, so I salvaged what I could grab.
Okay.
And do you do anything to it at all?
Just water it once in a while. Love it.
Wow.
Okay, if you can do us a big favor and send us a cool picture, then we'll even put it on the Facebook page. Everybody to look at this thing. I'm curious.
Okey-doke.
All right, Eric, keep us posted about those pods, okay?
I will.
Good, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll take a break, and we will come right back at 636-1350, or you can reach us at steve@ksro.com.
I'm Quinn Cook with the Golden State Warriors.
I'm Stephen Curry.
I'm Steve Kerr.
I'm Damian Jones.
This is where the Warriors play.
103.5, 94.5,
KSRO.
There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County, and it starts at a Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, botanical artist. I'm the award-winning resident licensed landscape designer and contractor. Our team has won first place 14 years in a row at the Sonoma County Fair's Hall of Flowers. And this year, our garden, Coastal Charisma, won Best of Show. I'm excited to be a part of Better Way Produce and Nursery. Our family would like to invite you to come see our old-fashioned, easy-to-shop nursery. We have great discounted landscape packages, including plants, hardscape, irrigation, design, and other outdoor needs for your garden. Don't miss our koi pond, small spaces demonstration gardens, complete with water features and nearly 1,000 plant species.
A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. A Better Way Produce and Nursery, open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30. Warning, are you tired of waiting on your contractor's timeline? Wanting to start a room addition and don't know where to start? Looking for more livable space but can't find a contractor available to start now? Call the team at Sonoma County Sunrooms today. They have the time, material, and talent to get your job rolling. Go in today. They'll start it tomorrow.
Hi, I'm David with Sonoma County Sunrooms. We are the only authorized Four Seasons sunroom dealer right here in Santa Rosa. And with many options to choose from, we want to help find the right sunroom to enhance your home and lifestyle. Now is the time to book your job with a 30 to 90 day finish. Come in today, find the model you love, and we'll start the process tomorrow. Once you choose the right style and size, we'll handle everything from the permitting process to the design and installation. It's that easy.
Choose the better process. Choose Sonoma County Sunrooms, your full-service design center conveniently located on Santa Rosa Avenue. Sonoma County Sunrooms. Design, installations, remodeling. Online at SoCoSun.com.
Wendy's knows when it comes to fries, the more the better. Because people just can't get enough of their favorite hamburger sidekick. So for a limited time, Wendy's is giving you any size fry for just a dollar. That's a small, medium, even a large order of natural cut sea salted goodness for just a buck. Any size you like for the same little price. But a deal this good won't last long. So get any size fry for $1 from Wendy's today.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time, a la carte only, excludes topped fries. Price and participation may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
It's Garden Talk. It's live. It's KSRO. And we'll get back to the mandrake in just a few minutes. We have another question via email. It says, hi, Steve and Gwen. I have a four-year-old peach tree that was actually died due to boring beetles. I'd like to replace it this spring with a replacement, a bare root peach tree. Is there something I can do to protect the new tree from the boring beetles? Are there peach trees that are resistant to this pest? Thank you. That's Pete from down in Novato, California.
Okay. Well, any fruit tree is going to be susceptible to borer damage, and that's because the tree, you're not watering it enough. The root system needs to stay damp. And when you plant a bare root fruit tree or any fruit tree that has a graft on it, have the graft facing the north. That way it's going to be in the shade. It's not going to be facing, you know, the southern exposure all the time. Also get half water and white or off-white latex water-based paint. Mix the two together, you know, so you thin out the paint. And after you've planted the tree, paint the trunk all the way from the ground, going all the way up, all around the trunk of the tree, all the way up till you come to the first set of branches. You don't have to paint the entire tree. Just go all the way up as far as the branches. That way that acts like a little sunscreen. So a lot of times the growers grow all these fruit trees and roses and everything really close together, so they're pretty shaded most of their life. Then they dig them up, they sell them to the nurseries, they pot them up, or they put them in the big bins and you buy them bare root. Then you plant them, and now these trunks, these plants that have been getting mostly shaded all their growing life, are now hit with full sun, because that's where we tell them they want to grow. And so their bark is sun sensitive. So when you don't water the tree enough, or even if you did and the root system's not established enough, the bark gets sun scalded or like sunburned. Like us going outside for the first time in the spring with a tank top on, and then you get, you know, sunburned and blistered. That's basically what happens to the trees. Then the bark breaks open, and then it sends a signal. Trees send out these little chemical signals to insects like, here I am, come and eat me. And so this beetle comes flying along, and it lays its eggs inside the cracks of where the bark broke open. And then the larva part is what's eating the trunk of the tree, the insides. And then it pupates and it turns into a beetle, flies out, and starts all over again. So to protect the tree, have the graft facing the north, paint it with paint and water, make a moat around the root system, so you know you're giving the tree enough water and that the water is going all the way down to the bottom of the root system. Make sure there's no air pockets underneath the root ball when you plant it. I shouldn't say the root ball because it's not really the roots. You know, plant it correctly, and then, you know, use a moisture meter or something to make sure that that tree is getting regular water, but not overwatering either, because then that'll also cause the root system not to grow, and then the tree therefore suffers. It's going to get sunburned again, and you're still going to have this borer problem. So it's basically TLC for your trees. You only need to paint the trunk one time, because after being in the sun, exposed to the sun for a year, the paint will start to disappear and the trunk will get used to being out in the sun, toughen up, and there you go. Okay. But if the tree's not getting enough water, doesn't matter what you do or don't do, it's going to get the borer problem because the bark's going to split open and there you go.
So bare root season's coming in January, February, and that's what he would want to.
Yeah, so prepare your soil now, and also put a lot of compost on top of the soil so you cover your bare soil. So when you do water, the water stays in the soil longer, and you don't have to. You shouldn't have to water like every other day, a little bit, this and that. You need to give your trees a good, deep, infrequent watering. Is best. So I hope that helps you, Pete.
There's your answer, Pete. Thanks for listening to the show and shooting us that email. That cleared the emails. We've got one more follow-up photo to take a look at, but no one on hold at this moment. 636-1350. If you want to get in with a garden question or two, we've got 10 minutes left, plenty of time to take a few more calls or a few more emails. steve@ksro.com.
Bennett Valley, here's KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
If you're selling a home in Sonoma County, you know the fires have changed everything. It's more important than ever to have an agent who really knows the market. That's why you should call Mike Kelly.
It's a different landscape these days. You're dealing with insurance companies, lawyers, inspectors. I can help you get through all of this stuff and sell your home the right way with less hassle.
If you've been affected by the fires, you need the Mike Kelly difference. Let Mike use his Sonoma County resources and connections to get you through all the obstacles and his market knowledge to help you set the right price.
There'll be a lot of homes coming on the market, so now's the time to list yours. Show me your home and I'll show you three quick and easy tips to maximize the return on your investment, even if you don't use me.
If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Find Mike at MikeKelly.com or call Mike at 707-322-8503, 707-322-8503. The jewel of the Sonoma Coast, Bodega Bay, home of the historic Inn at the Tides Restaurant, Hotel, and the Bayview Restaurant, serving authentic Italian cuisine all year round.
It's time to make reservations for Thanksgiving at the Bayview Restaurant. Start with your choice of five first courses, including pumpkin raviolis, herb marinated salmon carpaccio, or butternut squash soup. Then enjoy a traditional Thanksgiving feast with turkey and fixins, or try the lobster fettuccine, Barolo braised lamb shank, Petrolli almondine, or New York steak. A holiday feast wouldn't be complete without dessert. Choose traditional pumpkin or pecan pie, or try something a little different, like the apple brandy creme brulee, pumpkin cheesecake, or a trio of Italian-style ice cream.
The Bayview Restaurant at the Inn of the Tides. Less than 30 minutes from Santa Rosa, but seems a world away. Go to innatthetides.com for more info.
After last year's devastating fires, we've all been caring for our families, our neighbors, and our community. But too often, we overlook one very important thing, recovering our peace of mind. Go to MySonomaStrong.com for a free online wellness self-assessment. While you're there, you can learn about free programs, including restorative yoga classes and children's programs, to private counseling in person, by phone, or even by text. Let's find our new normal together. Visit MySonomaStrong.com today.
Your day starts off with a happy dance when you stop by the all-new Krispy Kreme in Rohnert Park, 5090 Redwood Drive. Open to you 24 hours a day with a convenient drive-thru and in-store with warm, fresh Krispy Kreme donuts and signature coffee and espresso drinks. Join us on Facebook and Instagram at KK Rohnert Park for a Krispy Kreme temptation. Whether it's early morning commute, mid-afternoon pick-me-up, or a late-night treat, Krispy Kreme is now open at 5090 Redwood Drive in Rohnert Park.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Garden Talk Live with KSRO in Santa Rosa. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for being part of the Garden Talk Club for the past 31 years here in beautiful Sonoma County. Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher. Hey, thanks, Megan, for the other photo you just sent us, and Gwen's going to work up a definitive ID for you this week. In the meantime, Dave would like a word with you, and he has a question on a subject that you're intimately familiar with, Gwen. Hi, Dave.
Good morning to the two of you. We've been listening to your show for about 20 years plus, and Gwen is always talking about manure.
Yep.
And I have a place to get some, and I was wondering if you might break it down for us, let all the listeners know how to compost it and how to use it, and when to and when not to.
Okay.
And I will take my answer off the air.
Okay. Wait.
Yes.
Can I ask you where you're getting this from?
From a horse farm out on the other side of Pengrove.
What's the name of it?
Woodridge.
Woodridge?
Uh-huh.
You mean Woodbridge?
Woodbridge, I'm sorry.
On Jacobson?
Yes.
Okay. I know the owner, Cynthia.
I knew you would.
Okay, perfect. But wait, before you get off the air, want to get off the air and just listen?
Yes, I would.
Okay, bye.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye. All right. I would ask Cynthia, I'm pretty sure, but I don't want to say, ask Cynthia if those horses have access to eating Bermuda grass, especially when the Bermuda grass is seeding. Because if they eat the Bermuda grass with the seeds, then it goes right through them. And then you take this composted or even fresh horse manure home, dump it out in your yard, and guess what comes up in the spring? Bermuda grass. So I've learned my lesson. That's why anytime I talk to someone about getting horse manure, ask them if the horses have been eating Bermuda grass. And chances are, if it's out there and they're eating it, they're eating the seeds. And so... Okay, then you really have your work cut out for you as far as heating that up. If you get manageable piles where you can even cover it and cook it, so the temperature, you need a soil thermometer, compost thermometer. Will Bax from Sonoma Compost, has said that you got to get the temperature above 140 degrees in order to kill any pathogens, especially, weed seeds. So that's what you should do. Ask if she's got the horses out there eating Bermuda grass. And if you can't get manageable piles of the horse manure and get that thermometer in there and get that stuff cooking, then I'm sorry, but you shouldn't be using that unless you're going to put it out someplace where you don't care there's Bermuda grass. But I doubt that would be the case. So if it's fresh manure, sometimes they have that big pile out there where they keep adding to it. And one part of the pile is really old and then one part is really fresh where they keep adding to it. See if you can get the older stuff. If it's a giant pile, a lot of times the manure has cooked and it did get up to the 140 degree temperature and above, and it's cooked all those seeds and okay. But the problem is when the wind comes, because nobody touches the outside of that pile, you've got all these weed seeds blowing and it's on top of the manure pile. So you think, oh, well, it's cooked. And so it's really hot in there and it's steaming and you can't touch it because it's so hot. We're good to go. So that would be true. But then you're forgetting about the outside part of the pile that's exposed to the elements and exposed to seeds landing on it. So that is going to be your problem. But if you can compost it, then great. It's good stuff. And you can mix it up in your soil or just put it on top of the ground as mulch.
And there's your tutorial on horse manure, and we're down to the last 10 seconds, Gwen. Beautiful way to close up today's show.
We should talk more next week about
horse manure. Start on horse manure next Saturday.
Okay.
Thanks, Gwen. John Ash, Steve Garner in the KS Arto Kitchen. Thanks for listening to Garden Talk. Hope you'll continue to listen for the next hour. This is KSRO.
On Crystal Clear FM at 103.5 and 94.5, Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO San